Council meeting, 14th November 24. I'd like to acknowledge the Goombangia people who are the traditional custodians of the land, and I'd also like to pay respects to the elders, both past, present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. The council meeting is audio recorded. This meeting is being webcast and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. Also, councillors and people in the gallery, this is being video recorded internally tonight for training purposes. Have we got any apologies, Mr. GM?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have two apologies. The General Manager, Mr. Bede Spanigal, and the Director of Corporate Services, Mr. Matthew Sykes.
Thank you. Have we got a... we've got Pastor Tim Turner from the Seventh-day Adventist.
Good evening, Mayor, councillors and senior staff. It's a privilege to pray with you. Let's pray. To the God who loves each one individually, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to come and ask your blessing on this council meeting. Being in leadership is a challenging situation where we know that you can make decisions and some people are happy, some people are unhappy. And I just ask that you would put your hand on this meeting, that the most amount of good would come to this valley and your blessing would rest upon it. We thank you so much for listening to every sincere prayer, and we thank you for listening to this one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Are there any disclosures of interest?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have two disclosures of interest. One from Councillor Ballengarry with a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict. The councillor has chosen to remain in the chamber and participate in the discussions and voting, and that was on item 11.1. And I have a second conflict of interest on 9.3 by Councillor Angel with a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict, and the councillor has chosen to remain in the chamber and participate in the discussion and voting.
Thank you. Confirmation of minutes. Have we got a mover for the minutes? Moved Councillor Jones. Second Councillor Angel. Are there any errors or changes? Put the motion to confirm the minutes. All in favour? Any against? It's carried. Thank you. There's a procedural motion to move delegations forward. Councillors, I require a procedural motion to bring delegations forward to the agenda. In this, have we got a mover? Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Smith. I put the motion. All in favour? Carried. I now call... Pardon? Have we got loudspeakers
out there? Work out there.
Just pause a minute, the meeting for a second until we can sort the audio out. Can you hear that now? Very good. Thank you very much. Keep going. I now call on Mr. Gary Nichols on behalf of Marine Rescue Nimba Heads to speak for the recommendation of item 5.1. Yeah. Mr. Nichols, you've got 5 minutes for your address.
We'll go close.
Very good. If you'll sound a bell just before it, and if you need to extend, we'll see how much you've got left. Thank you, Mr. Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors, members of the public. We were here in April this year discussing issues we face as a rescue organisation, that is, on the water. What I found after the meeting was people didn't know marine rescue exists or what we did. We are a private group, 42 units wide in New South Wales. We range from up far north up to the down to the areas in the Lake Eucanbean, Murray River, and other areas. We monitor rescues at sea, if you like, or waterways. We have a radio bases up and down the coast. We're like the NRMA of the water, if you like. We are part of the local LEMC. We are part of the LRC. That's the Local Emergency Committee and the Local Rescue Committee. We cover back other agencies in fires, floods, and any emergencies required, both human and animals. We cover a lot of area. We're responsible to Marine Area Command, the Water Police. They issue us tasks, we go out and we do them. Also, Marine Rescue Head Office. Issues we face. This is a real problem for us with the build-up of sand, particularly in the bar area and in the navigational channels. As part of the LRC, we have to give a commitment to be able to launch within 40 minutes. Our main rescue vessel is out at Valor. We're lucky if we can get launched within an hour. We can't comply to the rescue of the local rescue committee requirements. It is noted to them, and they understand why. Bar crossings. The bar crossing is an absolute, it's a thrill, let's just say, at times. You get 2 to 3 metre waves and you're taking them on to get out to rescue someone. It wasn't that long ago, we had a woman 12 kilometres out to sea on a jet ski. We had to go and get her. We had no choice. We went through a 2 to 3 metre surf on that bar. It was one of the most horrendous experiences of my life. The sand build-up is really restricting our operation. We can't launch sometimes. Our biggest fear is we have an issue where someone is in grave danger. We can't launch. The nearest other boat is Coffs Harbour or Troll Bay. So it is a real problem we need help on. That's why we're supporting this motion for this survey of a south wall. We believe it needs, at least needs to be investigated. As people who use the bar regularly, monitor the bar, we believe it needs to be looked at. Also, we believe navigational channels need to be potentially dredged, again, with advice. As an interim measure, because we can't launch our main rescue boat, we've asked politely, or stolen from Marine Rescue Headquarters, a flood boat, 6.5 metre, and we can use it in the sandbars. The only issue is we can't take it out through the bar, it's a flood boat. As a commitment, Marine Rescue, we have a lot of pressure from us, have now agreed we're going to get a new boat early next year. We've managed to organise $400,000 for a new rescue boat. That will help in a lot of ways for us to get out. It still doesn't make it perfect, but it is something that we feel is a commitment by Marine Rescue, as we believe is a real problem. The other problem we have is our base. We can launch our jet skis, which we do in the summer for swimmers, but we still can't launch our main rescue asset. As such, we have just acquired land at 10 Old Coast Road. Our intent is to build a dry base, and with a car and trailer, be able to launch our new vessel at areas around Nambucca. Although the boat ramps around Nambucca aren't necessarily suitable to a 2.5-ton boat and a trailer, but we will get it done somehow. The new base, we're looking at spending between 1.5 and 2.5 million. We'll be getting some plans done shortly. I won't bore you any more, but I will, as a final point, say we totally support this. It needs to be looked at seriously. We have a most beautiful waterway. We don't look after it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nicholl. Just a minute, Gary. Just a minute. Councillors, are there any questions of the Speaker? Yes, Councillor Chenry.
Yes, Mr. Nicholls, how did you end up in the situation by having a base behind the bar? Like, wouldn't it have been better to have one at Shelley Beach or...?
Purely space. We could not get... We tried to get... The past 4 years, we've been looking for a suitable location. We've gone to Crown Land, Council, other areas. We could not get... We could get on the other side of the river, which is totally useless to us. We are in a real problem.
What about, beach access, at Shelley or something like that, having beach, a shed there?
Beach access is very limited for us. It will not work with a 2.5-tonne boat. With a swell coming in, we're better off timing it and facing the swell as it comes in face on. Launching off the beach means we're going to back out into the water, which is not really suitable, particularly on a rescue mission.
So I know you're buying a new vessel, but the vessel that you've brought before that, was that the right vessel for the circumstances, seeing as you were in shallow water?
That vessel is 18 years old.
Oh, 18, right.
We were given that's all we could get at the time.
Yep.
It was a problem. It does suffice, but its draft is too deep for the shallow waters around.
Yep.
And then buffer. That's our problem.
Yeah, so it's not the right vessel for the environment.
Not the right vessel now. 4 years ago, it was okay. We could get out the bar. As the bar is closed off and the areas around the bar and our base, and a low tide below half tide, we can't launch a boat. 4 years ago, we could launch it 24/7. We're on call 24/7. We can't do much. When the tide's wrong, we can't launch the boat.
Would you... I understand the concept that it might be cheaper for the community to have you have the right boat than it is to spend millions dredging that and it just fills up.
We went out with council about 5-6 years ago and the RMS. We took them around, showed them the areas around the bar that was bar and other areas around it, near the golf course, that were concerning us. It was an eye-opener, and we did touch base on costs. At the time, we were told to expect a bill of $5 million every 7 years to dredge. So, look, we do appreciate the cost. We do appreciate the burden on the community. But as an organisation, as we covered, we've had to recover, well, it wasn't only about three, a body from the bar. I can assure you that is not something I ever want to do again. It happens with that bar. It is dangerous. It probably rates the top two or three worst bars on the New South Wales coast in its current condition. We need proper advice of what will do, what will suffice, and allow that bar to be used. The other day, we had a 42-foot cruiser come in. We tried to turn him around. 42-foot, that's a big boat. He got in just... He hung around for about 24 hours and he wanted to go out on a low tide. I sent my two jet skis out, please don't go. He waited another 4 hours and he just barely got out, 42 foot. I've had a 45 foot steel hull sailing vessel wanting to come in one night at 11 o'clock at night. I had to jump up and down and tell him to go away, you can't come in. He would have been on the sandbar there on his side.
Mm.
These are things I get all the time. Oh, we want to come in. Sorry, you can't. So, it's big problem, yes.
So, an education for craft users, recreation, I suppose, that this is a no-go zone. You know, it's a riverine estuary. It's...
Look, it can be. The issue at the moment is the bar is going back and allowing for a straight run into the sea. It's going back again. Mother Nature's wonderful. She throws a hurdle at us and she takes it away. She hasn't made it easy for us, but at the moment, it's getting better for us, but we still can't launch from our base. That's the biggest problem in the boat.
Because it's behind the bar.
Behind the bar. It's just down from the RSL club.
Yeah,
it is.
I know where it is.
Yeah, it is a problem for us. And as I said, our worry as all members, 25 members, we can't launch. Someone dies, it will be the worst possible result for us. I know the community as well, but we train to save lives. We go out in our boats in all conditions. We can't go out to save someone. That would be the worst possible result for the unit. It would almost break the unit up. I kid you not.
Yeah.
Any further questions, councillors? No further questions? Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Your Honour.
No worries. Councillors, I require a procedural motion to bring 5.14 to the agenda. You have a mover? Councillor Simpson, seconder. Councillor Gendry. Where is it? Move on to 5.1. Need a recommendation, a motion for 5.1. The council writes to the New South Wales Minister for Transport, the Honourable Joe Halen, and Member for Oxley, Michael Kemp MP, number one, to fund a feasibility study whether a southern seawall will stop sand build-up and create access to the Nambucca River, and fund a feasibility study into navigational dredging of the Nambucca River to allow access for marine rescues. I'm moving that motion. Have we got a seconder? Councillor Angel. I'll put any questions on that, or any discussion? Yes, Councillor Gendry.
Look, I've got some discussion on this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've had a river and estuarine committee that studied this concept of dredging the river in detail, and it found out it just wasn't feasible. The last mayor would have told this gathering that the river is an equilibrium. If you dig in front, the water and the sand are going to move in behind it, and they're going to rush in behind it, and it's not really good value for money. I just think we haven't done the geological studies at the rate of the changing depth. I mean, we can see over time that it's changing, but we don't know whether we maybe need less engineering rather than more engineering. What would happen if we remove that southern bit of the V-wall? So we haven't had consultation with Gordon Park residents or tourist businesses or Gungul Wangan, who own the southern bit of land there. So we haven't done testing for toxic residue, whether all the farm runoffs over 70 years are sitting there under the sand, and if we dig it up, it might kill all the marine ecology and be harmful to humans. So it's also not the state government's jurisdiction to dredge. They do so historically because they consider it important, but where they dredge, they usually have large maritime investments. So for instance, at Coffs Harbour, they have $90 million worth of investments in the marina, and there's a lot of boats tied up there, so they will dredge there. There's a second stream of criteria, and it's around commercial use. So the Macleay River gets a dredge because it's got a fleet of commercial fishing ships sitting at Gladstone. So we don't even know at this stage. I know you're asking for a feasibility study, but whether we even fit the criteria for what the state government may or may not do. So I just think we haven't done enough work to support this amendment as it stands. I think we need to look at... I think it's a lot cheaper to fund moving marine rescue to have an ocean outlet for their boat than it is to fund dredging, which has a very short-term outcome. And I think monitoring the marine sediments could be part of the river mouth, using aerial, high-res aerial photography from a drone or something that our Rivers and Estuaries Committee could look at. So we've also got a council down in Mid-Coast Council, so Taree, the Manning River has sand shoals that actually close the Manning River, and they don't, they're not eligible for funding, and so it'd be good to know what a council like that does. So, I mean, I'm not convinced that we're eligible for any funding from the state government for dredging, because I don't think we meet their criteria. So I'd just like to propose a new motion, really, that or an amendment to that, and that's staff report on the New South Wales Coastal Dredging Strategy and Maritime Infrastructure Plan to see if Nambucca Council is eligible as a key investment location or a priority regional location. And two, that staff report on the feasibility of a marine rescue service with ocean access at possible beach locations like Shelley Beach or Scott's Head. And that would include, you know, upgrades to boat ramps. And three, that monitoring of marine sediments in the Nambucca River mouth be done with high-res photography, and it be part of the River and Estuaries Committee remit, and that staff report on what actions Mid-Coast Council takes when Manning River closes at Old Bar. I think that's a starting point, and when we have done more work as a council, I think then the feasibility study for a southern seawall and that stuff might come into play, but I don't think we've done the work first. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but that's my opinion. So if I can get a seconder for that amendment, I'll put it up.
I'll talk to the motion. Or?
I'll second the amendment for discussion, but as I second it, I'd say to Councillor Jimby, I'd quite happily run with the whole lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think the mayor's motion, I think, is evidence based, and that's what we need. We need evidence, and Councillor Jenvey's talking about evidence around broader studies. So, if you're happy to make your amendment and add on to the mayor's motion, we're all aware there's reasons for and against. So that becomes an all-encompassing sort of research study. So I'd be happy under those circumstances, and if you're happy, maybe we could just.
Yeah, it'd be a foreshadowed motion to add it to the original motion. Is that what you're saying?
No, an amendment. If the amendment got up, it would just be added on to your original motion.
To end of the original motion?
Yeah,
I'll be happy to do that.
Can I just ask a question?
You can ask, please.
Just for clarification, Councillor Jenvey, the aerial monitoring.
Yep.
Are you proposing for the state government to do that or council?
Not for us, just with some drones to see what's happening with the sand shoals.
Okay.
Let's get some more factual information.
Can we maybe ask for similar to council to report on what it would take and the costs involved in monitoring?
Yeah.
That way we can go in and know what the costs are going to be.
Yep. So is that around the monitoring? You want the costs in there?
Yeah.
Councillor Angel?
Would that be part of the questioning to the state government? Obviously, the ministers and Michael Kemp, MP, obviously the first original motion was to see if they could fund a feasibility study. And obviously, the second part is fund a feasibility study. So we're asking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it should really. If we're asking for point one and two, then we should continue to ask the funding for those relevant ministers.
For the rest,
MP for three, four, five, and six, rather than coming in. It should just roll in together that we're asking the relevant ministers.
That's correct. In researching this motion,
yes,
from concerned citizens within the Nambucca Valley, this has been going on since 1915, when the wall went in. People have been asking this every 10 years. So the idea was, I've already met with federal and state members. The front section is federal government. The river is state government. They both work in together. And the navigational dredging is different to just dredging. The navigational dredging is for safety for vessels and to open up, not a harbour, but is to open up a laneway for recreational persons to be able to use and get back into the fishing industry and hopefully get some tourism. So that's why the motion was put together, but it was to get the funding from the state governments prior to us moving into it, so we're not spending money from the council. It's to alert them that we've got this problem since 1915. It's carried on, and we're asking for help from the governments of the day. It's Councillor Jenvey.
Look, If you go down to Shelley Beach, there are umpteen commercial fishers leaving from there. There are recreational sea craft going from there. Our bar has always been notorious. It's not the safest bar there ever was. There's a lot of shipwrecks there if you go over the history of the place. I don't think we should be trying to open something up that's where we've already got users doing something else that's safer. So that's my thing about opening up that navigational channel for recreational craft. I think they should be staying away from it because it's inherently dangerous.
Well, if it's opened up with navigational dredging, the sea safety and the rivers community, they will put navigational systems back into our river, so then it'll be safe for everyone to use.
Well, we've it's got not to just have for fishing. A need, and we don't really have that.
Well, we have a need is to get a rescue boat out the bar for doing rescues.
The community shouldn't be asked to be paying for the decisions of the Marine Rescue Association. We should be looking for a cheaper option to have Marine Rescue move rather than the expensive option of dredging.
Well, that's why we're asking for a feasibility study paid by the government, not us. And we're giving them the idea and letting them know that we're worried about the situation we have in the Nambucca River. That's the main reason of the motion. Councillor Jones.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Mayor, you actually stole my thunder. That was sorry. What I was going to... You stole my thunder. I mean, I think there's a whole range of issues and debate that will be had as this process, unwinds. I hear Councillor Jemby. I mean, I could come up with a whole range of anecdotes and history and, you know, discussions I've had with people around the valley, myths and legends, and I just think this is really just the first step in information gathering and that's quite genuine. And I think the fact that we're trying to get someone else to pay for it, I think it's always a good idea. So.
Well, thank you. Councillor Smith?
I'd like to speak in support of the motion. From my experience working across from the river and the fact that you know, we present our river as a key tourism space, and especially that river mouth as well. There's lots of beaches and man-made beaches around there. I can only say I remember a time a year ago where there was a missing person out there for quite a substantial amount of time. When someone gets caught in that rip and in that bar, it affects everyone around that area, and it happens very consistently. So, yeah, I support the motion.
Any further questions, councillors? I'll put the amendment. All in favour for the amendment? Any against? It's passed. The amendment becomes the motion.
Busy beaver day.
Any discussion? Any discussion, councillors?
Yep, so put the motion.
I'll put the motion before you. All in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you very much, councillors. Now, like procedural... Well, no, this one? I'm going to call Karen Patija, item 5.2, to come up. Speak on the recommendation of 5.2, notice of motion. Whoa, what happened there? Aaron, the same with 5 minutes. We'll give you a bell at 4. And hopefully we'll see if you've got anything left to talk about. And what, you've only got 2 minutes after the bell.
Okay.
Okay?
Right. Starting now. Good evening.
You're right to go.
Mayor, staff, councillors and audience. Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's lovely.
Okay. I'm here tonight to talk about the strategy to have a public notice board for the Nambucca CBD area, Barra Street and Ridge Streets, because as the Marine Rescue person just noted, often information is hard to find and resource, and so I've put together a bit of a package here, accompanied by slides. I have to put the proposal, and I have to answer statements of questions from the council. So I will proceed. Now, basically, how this came about, that was one of the questions that the council put to me. How did this come about? Well, there is a very good notice board down at the plaza, Farringdon, where a lot of Farringdon Village people go and shop, centred around Ritchie's, but there is no such thing in Nambucca Heads. People have to resort to putting notices on sandwiched between shop fronts. Now, could you turn to slide number 6, please? This is a case in point. This is employment agency, a real estate next door, some spurious notices. The one on top is the Anglican notice of services available in this area, where a lot of people don't even know about. So having a notice board would be a very good initiative, and it was asked why this wasn't proposed in the last 2 years. Well, we had COVID, number one. Secondly, it arose really out of the council's pre-polling proposals, which were the beautification of Nambucca Heads. So this initiative would start the ball rolling, and it's a very low-cost, effective initiative, which I'll chug through in this encyclopedia, well, in this big talk. I've never done this before, but after this I'll go to Toastmasters.
You're doing well. You're doing well.
Okay. So first off, the proposal would be... Oh, could I have the number one slide, please? The proposal of where it would be is a alcove, existing alcove, between the library and the Memorial Hall in that section, and it actually belongs to the council. It's the memorial little alcove. Could you put a slide on for that, please? Photo number 2, please. Okay, you can see the telephone box. Right opposite the phone box is the alcove. Further detail would be slides 3 and 4. Slides 3 and 4. Now, that's the wall that is on the hall side, but is in between. So it's actually a very perfect spot for a notice board because it's quite large. It's in a pivotal position, close to senior citizens, youthy, people who use the hall, the library, a lot of foot traffic passing by. Now, it's put to me that, okay, we already have one notice board down at the plaza, but a lot of people can't travel to the plaza if they don't have a car, and they serve a bit of a different demographic because the people that frequent the plaza are a lot of people live at Farringdon Village or they live in neighbouring streets, and youth in, say, Nambucca, may not, have the facility or amenity to get down to the plaza.
Karen, I've just got to stop you there. Have you got much more to go on your address? Another couple of minutes, finish it up?
A couple of minutes, yes, okay.
Mover and seconded.
Happy to move an extension.
Yep, move Councillor Genvey, seconded Councillor Angel. Thanks, Karen. You can put the motion that we have an extension. All in favour? Carried. Thanks, Karen. You've got a couple of minutes.
Okay, a couple more minutes. Let me see. Okay, there wouldn't be very much cost involved, and I would suggest if this motion is carried that then some design feasibility is looked at, not necessarily feasibility studies, it costs money. I'm suggesting, say, painting the wall a dark green to match the colours of the existing council building. The surround could be made voluntarily by the men's shed. It would service all sectors of the community, from public health notices like the marine rescue just mentioned, community events, you know, music, etc., small businesses, advertising, you know, cafe nights and whatever, and a section for tradespeople to put their notices. And one of the photos here covers an example of that down at the plaza where there are, yes, that's it there. So design would be quite important, but not necessarily expensive. This could be done on very minimal amount of money, and the benefit to cost could be very great. It's free advertising for, say, small businesses, and it's a very good look for the tourism industry because we look like a thriving, vital community. I've listed all the points in my handout if I don't cover them now. I think it's a win-win, and it would deliver to the community an immediate response to beautification of Bower Street and Ridge Streets without very much money. And now lastly, can I have my last point? Last point?
Yeah, you're stretching it. Yeah,
okay. Well, my last point involves actually policing. Policing. I don't know if people have seen this notice around town. It's popping up. It was put together by the Anglican Church of all services to help people in need and stress, one of them being the Warrener Refuge Centre for women with domestic violence. And strategically, in one of the... Can you flash through a photo with the Telstra telephone box, please? Plate 2. Yes, now here we see the Telstra phone box right opposite the alcove. So if someone in distress goes to the notice board, they can get the phone numbers, they can go to the Telstra phone box and ring up for free. Calls to Telstra are free. So the notice board covers a lot of amenities, really all of the areas. And at the moment, everything is disconnected. You've got notices willy-nilly here on different shop fronts, and there's no cohesion, one place, one-stop shop. And in fact, I mean, I'm a carer, and I missed seeing a notice because it was down at the Majestic Cinema on one of their doors. Now, I missed going to that because for various reasons.
Thank you, Karen. Councillors, just wait there, Karen. I'll just ask if there's any questions from any councillors. Councillor Genvey?
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Simpson? Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Karen, for the talk. I think it's a great idea. I just wanted to know, because we've spent a lot of time putting notices on board over the last few months, and also having that emergency contact information there, great idea. My only issue is when I came to a lot of the boards that I was using, they're often very cluttered. How do you see managing that board?
Well, because in a couple of ways, still to be sorted out. The space is big enough. It's about 6x6. There could be three separate boards with titles, you know, community interests, trades and notices, events and happenings, or if it's just the one board, those headings, and the notices could be dated so that people who remove the notices, it's done on a weekly basis. And that could be done by volunteers working at the Arts Centre or occasionally perhaps the library staff if they've got a moment. I don't think it would need a separate management person, and maybe some lines drawn on the actual notice, you know, here, here and here. I'm meaning, you know, you can't grab bag for extra space. You've got your allocated allotment. I mean, that's my idea, but working with somebody else, they may all cancel, throwing around ideas, they may come up with better solutions.
Thank you.
It could even be colour-coded, you know.
Questions, councillors? Any further questions? Thank you, Karen, for that address. Councillors, I require a procedural motion to bring 5.24 to the agenda. Can I get a mover? I move Councillor Jones.
Happy to second.
Seconded Councillor Angel. I'll put the motion.
Discussion.
Any discussion on the
procedural
motion?
Oh, I'm moving procedural. The motion.
You're moving the motion?
Hang on. Sorry, we've got to vote on the procedural motion to bring the item forward.
Okay.
And then you can move the motion. Okay. So put the procedural motion.
Procedural motion first. All in favour? Carried. Now the motion. Councillor Genvey?
I'd like to move my motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Got a seconder?
Happy to second that, Madam.
Seconder, Councillor Jones. Have we got any discussion?
Back to the
mover of the motion.
Yeah, thanks. I think, this is a good idea. The recommendation is for staff to report back on establishing this, so we'll wait and see if it gets up and what staff report back on, but I think it's a good idea. And you know, social media, though there might be big websites covering Nambucca heads, but visitors aren't on them, old people aren't on them, young people are turning away from them, you know, the algorithms been destructive, you know, Gen X has found, and they're losing trust in social media. So you know, social media cannot do everything, and I think having one space in town may be unifying for all our notices. So thank you.
Are there any other councillors who would like to speak? You're able to speak once to on behalf of the motion. Any other councillors? Put the motion. All in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Thank you. We've delegations tonight here in relation to 11.1 amendment. Given the importance of the matter, I've decided the speakers will be allowed 10 minutes to address council with no extensions, and I'll give you a warning bell at 9-minute mark. Council, I'll expect questions for the speakers and not a debate. I'll call Rachel McKenzie come forward, speaking on behalf of Berries Australia against the recommendation.
Quite a fly.
We have to, we didn't have to move. No, you did it before.
Good afternoon, everyone. Obviously, this is an emotional and contentious issue, and I'm grateful to be given the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Rachel McKenzie. I am the Executive Director of Berries Australia, and we are the representative body for Australian berry growers. Now, a little bit about me. I've been working in the horticulture sector since 2006. I've been working for Berries Australia since 2019. But prior to that, I actually worked at the Coastal Cooperative Research Centre and worked with the Queensland EPA educating communities on the National Water Quality Management Strategy. And prior to that, I was the fisheries scientist with Queensland DPI. So I certainly do have a level of expertise in relation to this, although I would not consider all of my expertise to be particularly current. I do have a clear understanding of the issues that are occurring here, and I think it's really important that we talk about what is actually on the table here today. Nope, that didn't work. No. Ah, that old chestnut. Ding, no. Could you just pop it on the computer, please?
Put that on pause. Oh, here we go.
Okay, so why are we opposed to the amendment? There are a couple of really clear reasons why. The proposal does not clearly articulate why DAs are needed, nor how they will solve the perceived issues of land use conflict. The issues identified in the proposal are all managed by existing legislation and are not planning issues. There has been no real consideration of how the proposal will impact the productive capacity of the region or investment in the region. Now, I appreciate the DCP attached to the proposal is a draft, but it is unimplementable and it will open up the council to expensive litigation. And the proposal does not meet the conditions of the Gateway determination for the above reasons and does not align with state level strategies around rural land. Next slide, please. Okay, now I am aware that this map is a little bit dated. It does come from the Protected Cropping Map or Dashboard of Australia, and it identifies 23 current commercial blueberry farms in the Nambucca region, and that comprises about 0.2% of the area. Interestingly, for only taking up 0.2% of the area, the value of the industry is at Farmgate $16.439 million. And if we look at the Regional Development Authority's standard multiplier, we are looking at a contribution of $55 million to this community. Berries are the most valuable agricultural commodity in the region. And like I said, this map shows where the berry production is as we understand it at the moment, although I do believe there have been some new farms recently come on board. Berry production is a legitimate rural activity being conducted in a rural zone. Next slide, please. So why is Nambucca popular with the berry industry? It does have a slightly different climate to the Coffs Harbour region, which means that the growers here can access unique market windows. And that is really important in terms of being able to be profitable in the berry industry. It's also important to understand that the Coffs Harbour region actually accounts for something like 80% of Australia's blueberry production and also a significant percentage of raspberry and blackberry production. Access to infrastructure is vital. When harvested, blueberries must be cooled to 2 to 4 degrees as soon as possible after they are picked. The growers usually then transport their harvested fruit to the receiving centre in Wirimbee to cool the fruit, and then it goes to the distribution centre in Coffs Harbour. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm telling you all of this, but I guess part of that is to help people understand why it is critical that blueberry farms exist in this region. It is to do with the proximity to the markets in Sydney and also to the distribution centre and the cooling facilities. So we've also got on the table some really big export opportunities coming up, and the opportunities for economic growth in this region are significant. Next slide, please. So why protected cropping? And I think this is where we get to the guts of this issue, where the DA is actually proposing that the structures associated with protected cropping require a development approval, whereas other forms of horticulture, which are annual crops, do not require such an approval. So protected cropping, netting and tunnels, is considered best practice as it reduces reliance on chemicals for pest management, reduces spray drift, protects crops from spray drift, and enables more precise fertiliser application. While at the moment netting is more prevalent in the Nambucca Valley, the area of tunnels potentially will expand as growers convert from soil growing systems to pot substrate systems over time, particularly if they expand into rubus production, so that's raspberries and blackberries. Tunnel structures are removable structures. They consist of steel hoops covered with plastic film to protect the crops from weather while providing high light transmissivity. They do not change the nature of the land. Tunnels can reduce pesticide application by 50% and significantly reduce spray drift. As you can imagine, this has been an issue in the UK as well, and this is some research that was done independently by the University of Worcester comparing protected cropping with other types of horticulture. Tunnels and nets can be removed, and the land can return to other agricultural purposes. Next slide, please. So It's really important when we talk about water quality that we remember that the dose makes the poison. If you drank 3 litres of seawater, you'd be very sick and probably die. Does that mean you can't have a sip of it? Does that mean you can't swim in it? Of course not. So we really have to remember that it is all around the concentrations. And under the National Water Quality Management Strategy, they set out trigger values, and then the actual guideline values are many, many, many orders of concentration below that. And that is to make sure that communities are safe. So the EPA tested for 96 agricultural chemicals, and they found traces of 4 that were several orders underneath the National Water Quality Guidelines, except for one chemical, which is called imidacloprid, which I did quite a lot of looking into because I was intrigued as to why it didn't have a guideline value. I looked at research from the US, I looked here, and I think that one of the main reasons is that there isn't considered to be significant concerns, but it is on the list for assessment. So that is something that is being looked at, but the concentration in the water column was extremely low. These results show that water quality, and this is a quote from the EPA in their press release, these results show that water quality is not being impacted by excessive amounts of pesticide, but further improvements from local farms are needed. And I absolutely accept that some of the growers do need to work on their practices, but that is being looked after by the EPA. They are active here. There is no need to add an additional bureaucratic step for those growers who are doing the right thing. Not only is it already registered, but there is a huge amount of work being done by ourselves, by local land services, by DPI. We are all looking into best practice guidelines for water reuse and reducing runoff so that we can ensure that the growers have the best information. And I was speaking with the EPA this morning and I've said, throw the book at people. If people are doing the wrong thing, throw the book at them. I am not interested in supporting those who do the wrong thing, as I do not want those who do the wrong thing tainting our industry and making others look bad by association. So if you have a problem, if you've got concerns about spray drift, if you've got concerns about specific practices, report it. I must confess I was a little alarmed when I listened to one of the speakers from the last council meeting, Professor Kirsten Birkendorf, who said that she found toxic chemicals on some berries that she tested. So I rang her and I said, goodness me, have you got the batch number? Can you tell us where it came from? And she said, oh no, I didn't keep that. And I was like, well, surely if you thought you were poisoning people, you'd let people know, because we've got full traceability. We could have actually identified where it came from. And she said, oh no, I don't have the container anymore. And then the chemical that she actually said that she found has not been available in Australia for 40 years. So I think it's really important that we add a level of scepticism to some of the claims that are being made. Next slide, please. So coming on to the contentious topic of spray drift. Protected cropping reduces spray drift, not increases it. Chemicals are heavily regulated, and as permits are renewed, so blueberries actually have a system called the minor use permit system. We have to renew our chemical permits every 3 to 5 years. And with the renewal of each permit, there's actually an environmental assessment conducted. That is a new thing, I'll be honest with you. And there are spray drift recommendations now on every permit. So again, this is already regulated. So that is the text directly from the blueberry permit that is very clear that you are not to have any off-site impacts. So therefore, it is absolutely regulated, and if people are doing the wrong thing, take photos, let us know, and we will ensure that there is the full extent of the law applied to that, because that is not acceptable. There are rules and people should follow them. Next, please. So is that the 10 minutes? Yeah. Okay, I'll be very quick. Essentially, you know what the objectives are.
Excuse me.
But
we got
this is rural land.
And we've got a council that would... the time's up. I wasn't going to give any more time. Anyone wish to hear any more?
I think 10 minutes is enough.
Enough?
Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
I do think she had one more minute left on her time, because that was the 9-minute warning.
No, it's at 11, yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your speech. Any questions of... sorry. It's the end of your speech. Yes, Councillor
Simpson. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Rachel, for presenting that for us. Look, I had a question for you. I'm not sure if you've had the opportunity to read the papers that we had for this meeting, but just so that you know the background, the EPA itself is asking us to create a more proactive process here. We've been very reactive. It's very expensive for us at the cost of the test. So I still...
Councillor?
My question is, I'm still confused as to why there's so much resistance to a DA, because we value the industry. All we're asking is for a DA.
I think that similarly, and unfortunately I wasn't able to show the slides that represented it, but the DA requirements are actually quite onerous. And if you have a look at the DCP, they will actually significantly reduce the productive capacity of the land. Now, there's been a reference made to Kempsey. Kempsey has exactly zero berry farmers. So I think that tells you everything you need to know about the level of investment and how it will impact the level of investment. As for the EPA, it's quite interesting because you speak to different officers within the EPA and they have different views, and I did see that letter, and they actually quoted the Coffs Harbour water tank study, which actually found, again, nothing that was of concern in terms of water quality issues and concentration. So there might be individuals within the EPA, but I don't think that is the policy of the EPA as an organisation, unless it's a good way to get someone else to do their job for them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Please. And thank you, Rachel, for your presentation. Rachel, some of us have been around this chamber for a little while, and in 2017 we had industry representatives assuring us that their best practice of buffers would be implemented voluntarily. Are you challenging that? Or?
All I am saying is that a voluntary code is exactly that. It is a voluntary code. And unfortunately, much as I would love to go out there and be the policeman, I don't think anyone would listen to me, despite no matter how scary I try and make myself look.
So, quiet in the gallery, please.
So I think the bottom line is it's a voluntary code. I wasn't there in 2017, so I didn't make the code or have anything to do with the code. But all I can say is I don't think it has ever been able to be presented to you as anything other than a voluntary code.
Thank you.
Councillor Smith.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you again for speaking. You mentioned when you were speaking that if someone is violating or a bad actor, to contact you, to contact Berries Australia, and you'll throw the book at them. And can I ask, what can Berries Australia do to help the Nambucca Valley Shire to manage this exponential growth? If it's such great land use, what support can you give us moving forward to manage it?
Well, thank you for the question. I think I probably need to clarify what I said, which is, because as I said, I'm not a policeman, I can't actually, you know, condemn anyone like that. But we can certainly educate all of those kind of things. But what I do is I do report. And I'm very happy to report, and I have reported on a number of issues over the years. And so I would actually say that it's probably better if you report to the relevant authority, but sometimes people don't feel comfortable with doing that, and sometimes growers actually tell me about other growers down the road, and that's certainly when we report. So I'm always comfortable to report, because I also think if you're not doing anything wrong, you won't get in trouble.
Sorry, just a quick clarification. Report, you mean report to the EPA? Report
yes.
To...
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And coming back to your question, I think 0.2% of land use wouldn't really be considered exponential growth. But yes, there certainly is opportunities for growth here, and I hope that they continue. And all I'm saying is that I don't think a DA will solve the problems that you feel that you have. And I feel that other forms of legislation are already managing those issues. And I think that what you really need to do is reflect as councillors on what problem you're trying to solve and whether or not this particular proposal would solve it.
Thank you. Any councillors, any other questions? Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
Next speaker, I'll call Greg Desmond. Greg there. Thanks, Greg. Greg speaking on behalf of the New South Wales Farms Association and the Mbucco Valley branch against the recommendation to speak. Greg, you've got the same rules, the 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'll do my best, mate. All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors and members of the gallery. Sorry. Is that better? Everybody hear me? So my name's Greg Desmond. I've lived in the valley all my life. I've been a dairy farmer and my family have been here for quite a few generations. I'm a little bit semi-retired and finding my way. And one of my particular roles is chairman of the New South Wales Nembucca Valley branch. New South Wales Farmers Nembucca Valley branch team has been working with our limited resources over the past 12 months to seek to fully understand the issue at hand. The discussion around land use and land use conflict has been a long time coming, considering the way in which the demographics of our rural zones are rapidly changing, and it is a conversation which our valley needs to have. Please be reminded that this issue does not just revolve around blueberry practices, but this will encompass and affect all horticulture, a large proportion of the valley agriculture sector in our valley. It will also impact on the satellite businesses which survive off this substantial industry, that is transport, rural businesses, tyre shops, real estate, schools, less money circulating through the community, less people frequenting food outlets, cafes and restaurants. Unfortunately, this proposal sends a message we are going to make it harder for horticulture businesses to operate in this valley. Hence, they will more than likely look elsewhere. As a community, we need to work together to find a pathway forward and use the appropriate resources available as required. We all need to respect the land and the environment in which we live, plus provide landholders a secure and stable environment in which to invest in their respective production systems and not encroach too far on their right to farm, or this security is eroded and confidence is diminished. This will leave our rural zones vulnerable. Local government, industry and other relevant government agencies are here to provide the tools and advice and legislation to assist where possible to support sound farming practices. At the very start of this issue, our branch set to investigate whether there is a water quality problem in the Nembucca Valley and if so, the verifiable extent of it. We were one of the main supporters to get water quality testing done in the valley to establish a baseline to compare future testing programs to. We also investigated the oyster testing program recently conducted by New South Wales Food Authority and their results. The water results have been made available to council and our branch recently forwarded a copy of the oyster testing to all councillors. Both regimes of testing fell within required guidelines, which is very good news for our valley. We also note the comments in the DPI submission letter which stated that our Nembucca Valley oysters are now being directly harvested for market, something which has not happened since 1983. We are most pleased for our marine farming colleagues that the waterways has received this confirmation as a clean and healthy environment. Given the gravity of the submissions made to Council, we have grave concerns that there has not been adequate time since Council has received the submissions for them to properly consider all the relevant information and seek independent advice where necessary. This is particularly true for the new councillors.
Greg, your microphone's escaping.
Sorry. Getting away from me. This is particularly true for new councillors that have not seen the previous proceedings around planning proposal firsthand. I know myself, I have found it a hard slog to fully embrace all the information and to be fully versed on the consequences and possible repercussions of the proposal. The question is also raised as to whether NVC has satisfied all the conditions of the gateway determination. We tried to organise some farm visits so every councillor can see the different operations they are dealing with before this decision was to be made, and are very disappointed that this could not be achieved. Leaving group visits until after the LEP vote to then consider the DCP is, in our opinion, a horse's bolted moment. Our next issue after reading the MVC report on the process and consultation they have done with state government agencies is the almost total disregard of advice given by the DPI submission letter. NVC say they understand the significance of the horticulture industry, but do they? Why are they talking about an industry that was in 2021 56% of the Nambucca Valley total agricultural income, or $16.4 million, with an RDA multiplier effect? This means it is worth $55 million to our economy. That was 3 years ago, and other significant farming practices like dairies are diminishing, putting even more importance on sectors in rural areas like horticulture. We are somewhat perplexed after further reading DPI's letter to learn that MVC were advised by DPI they should do a rural land use strategy when the issue originally came to the fore back in 2017. It was revisited in 2020, and still no balanced and comprehensive study into the consequences of the current planning proposal was done, and here we are. We know of other LGA areas who are using the paddock to planning platforms promoted by DPI, who are welcoming horticultural enterprises into their rural landscapes in coastal areas. They have discovered that horticulture is one of the most beneficial forms of agriculture they can have, and are actively removing impediments they have placed in its way by way of planning instruments, etc., rather than imposing them. It must also be noted that DPI do not believe NVC have satisfied the gateway determination due to not undertaking, and I quote, reasonable analysis of the impact of the proposal, unquote. In our opinion, NVC should embrace the opportunities in DPI's submission letter and explore it at the very least before making any definitive determination such as the LEP 36 amendment. NVC needs to improve and build advocacy with such agencies, and this will deliver sustainable agricultural practices and in turn deliver sustainable, tangible, environmental, social and economic outcomes for our rural zones. I'm afraid that NVC puts forward as a proactive approach will only result in more red tape, which could be avoided by better utilising the resources offered and opportunities that have been seized by forward-thinking LGAs. On the 7th of August 2024, we sent a letter to councillors, general manager and manager of development and environment from the State Minister Tara Moriarty that outlined resources available that address this matter. On another matter, we see RFS have now submitted a letter to NVC saying they raise no concerns or issues, unquote, in relation to the LEP amendment. The amendment, if adopted, will lead to more buffer zones of quite thick vegetation in some instances, and tall trees may be close to homes if the incorrect varieties are chosen. Under the RFS bushfire risk management plan, it is a duty of landholders to prevent the occurrence of bushfires. This response, in our opinion, is not adequate considering the stated intent of the planning proposal to mandate vegetated buffers. New South Wales farmers would like to know more about the DA process and the NVC exposure to possible future litigation. NVC has lots of experience in improving DAs for buildings, etc., but as farmers, we all know too well the dynamics of farming can be and the consequences of dealing with nature. If NVC approves a DA for horticulture and it goes wrong, what are the consequences? There is no consideration given to this or the financial ramifications of appeals that we can see in the minutes of recent meetings. Does our relatively small council need to be exposed to this? As we already addressed in our submission, there already exists a massive body of legislation and acts to oversee and enforce lawful practices around chemicals. APVMA already incorporates buffer zones, no spray zones, and the protection of sensitive receivers in the conditions of use labels on products, and these are law, not negotiable and quite enforceable. Safe Work New South Wales has their own suite of laws and powers of entry. Land Clearing, LLS, have recently informed us of the draft vegetation regulatory mapping. This informs landholders of their obligations when applying land use practices to their holdings. Existing legislation also covers buffers to boundaries, streams and waterways, setbacks for houses. NRA covers water harvesting and water rights are also covered. New South Wales Farmers Nambucca Valley Branch feel NVC is taking way too much responsibility here and letting other government departments and industry off the hook. NVC needs to focus on delivery of its core services, and if services are presented to them outside their role, they should be addressed by relative government department. A simple but clear...
Thanks, Greg. That's it. Thank you. Councillors, are there any questions? Councillor Simpson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Greg, for your talk. Look, it's a similar question because essentially I still am confused when I look at our current RU1 and RU2 exemptions. The only intensive agricultural pursuit there that we're allowing without consent, so no DAs required, is horticulture. So really all we're looking at here is shifting it to request for DAs in alignment with the other farming practices.
Question, please, Councillor.
So what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, as our valley becomes... My thoughts are, at the moment, the way the demographics of our valley is changing, obviously we're getting smaller farms, and people invest quite a bit of money or a substantial amount of money in capital on those properties. And, I mean, they want a return on their investment, and a simple way of doing that is probably a horticulture enterprise. So and putting some sort of impediment in front of them will obviously stop that idea going forward. I mean, it's a very, like, you go back to the, I mean, horticulture is so historic here in this valley. I mean, it was just one of the things farmers used to do as an extra diversification in income. And you're basically putting up that little wall now, and people are going to go, well, maybe I shouldn't be in this valley, I'll go somewhere else.
Is there any other questions, councillors? Councillor Jones?
Yeah, Greg, thank you for your talk and your interest in the sector. The question I've got is, I've been around here for 8 years on council. I've had more phone calls from farmers over this issue than over any other issue. And a lot of those farmers, can I ask you, the farming community, is there concern around the farming community in some sectors around what really is an external change that's come in? I hear what you say about horticulture, macadamias, crucial, bananas, etc. But the change has come from outside. Do you know what I mean? It's a different practice. It's a different feel. Are you feeling that with your members, that there's concern?
I don't think our members are concerned. To me, it's just a... Look, all valleys and all lands will, if they're fertile land, will go changes in what people want to do on them. I mean, traditionally, we were... cropping, pigs, dairy, beef cattle, and then it's moved away from that, and obviously vegetables. I mean, vegetables were huge here on the Nambucca, and as if you read that DPI submission letter, and I can't emphasise enough about that letter and the advice given in that letter. I mean, it's just a no-brainer to me that you guys should be. Like, that DPI submission, they're basically reaching out saying, come to me, I'm going to show you guys how we should do this. And that paddock to planning platform, I know it's working up in the Clarence very well. And, I mean, it's just an invitation that I don't think we can miss, because our little valley here, it needs diversification in those rural zones. Otherwise, you just got to give them direction and give them a carrot. Don't put a wall in front of them. They'll go somewhere else.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Thanks, Greg.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillors, I require a procedural motion to bring item 11.1 forward on the agenda. Have I got a mover?
Yeah, I'd like to move the motion, and I'd also like...
Hang on.
Let's wait for the procedural motion.
Have we got a seconder? Jones? Put the motion to bring the 11.1 forward. All in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you, speakers. Councillors, given the importance and potential wide implications and limited time to consider submission, I move to defer this item and ask council staff to conduct an additional workshop for all councillors to consider all submissions in detail and with site inspections, plus provide all councillors the opportunity to seek advice or clarification where necessary from EPA and DPI and other necessary stakeholders. Can I get a seconder? Councillor Angel, thank you. Any comments from councillors? Councillor Angel.
Look, I openly talked to councillors about this before this council meeting, and mainly because I feel the process and not the integrity of the data that a lot of hard work's gone into coming to us. But we're a newly formed council. I have another concern that this is such an important moment for this council to not have the entire executive committee here at council employee end is just beyond me, to be truthful. This is quite major, and I've listened to Greg, and I've talked to Greg Mr. Desmond a couple of times. I feel that we want to engage the state departments, and I've said this to the councils before, we want to engage these state departments. And when you're receiving a submission, and I get their interest in the environmental and the industry side, but when you're actually getting submissions by the state departments you actually actively want to work with to sort the problems out. We've missed a process here. We've missed a process. We as the council group, not for public forum, should be sitting with the EPA and the DPI, getting a real moment to talk about this and having some intensity about it. And I believe exactly what Greg said as well is we have missed the opportunity to go to the Tensi Farms to get a picture of all this. And I understand individuals have really put the energy to go out by themselves, but this is a team. And to not actually, particularly as a new council, half are existing and half have come on new, not to give this more time. And my fear is if we don't take a due process moving forward with this, that we are opening ourselves up to problems with this actually bouncing back at state. And I hope I'm wrong, but if we do not follow a more detailed process with this in engaging state bodies that are so important to help implement an LEP change, not have a consultative process with them, then we have missed a boat and a real opportunity for it to just get slammed back in our face by the state government that actually pays these departments. So if we're not going to engage them as councillors and have a consultative process, how does this go to a state government and they go, oh, how's your processes apart from all the hard work that's been done by a council employee? You know, he's done a wonderful job. We've missed that boat, and it just feel like this could be going on to the next council election. If we do not do this properly and litigate all of it, I just think this deserves a bit more time with the new council. And the fact that we've had such robust, and only a week with submissions, and how many submissions? 70-odd submissions?
There was 83.
83 submissions.
In a week.
Yeah, so we obviously two for and against. So, yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Mayor. I totally agree with a deferral on this. And for all those reasons, not because I am against or in support, I feel like our process just needs another step to it to complete it.
Thank you. Any further questions? Councillor Jenry?
Yeah, I'll be voting against this deferral. It's the work of councillors who wanted to be elected onto this council to be on top of this issue. This issue has been around since 2017. People must be aware of the very basics of it. They should have done their reading this week, and certainly they should have formed a notion about this. We have done the consultative process. Mm. This has been up for submissions for a very long time. We've had speakers for and against come to council meetings for a very long time. Regulation is a legitimate process. It's a legitimate process for us to be using the LMP because it keeps us safe. It's been a long time coming, and there's nothing wrong with businesses just making a story about how they're going to establish their farm. It's not going to destroy the industry. It's not going to destroy the economics. It's just a basic story about how they set themselves up. And the fact is that it's proactive. Rather than us always being behind the eight ball and dealing with people who are really aggrieved about what's happened, whether that's water quality management systems or whether that's amenity that's been impacted. We can reduce these conflicts and these environmental impacts if we are proactive and just back in the change to the LEP. The DCP, that hasn't been worked out yet. So that'll be for everyone. We'll have a say in it. Both industry and the community will have a say in it. We have engaged with government agencies on this. I believe council is well placed and they are doing the right thing, and I believe that there's a lot of hot air when we have the wine industry, turf farming, nurseries, pig farms, poultry farms and dairy farms require a DA. Down in Kempsey, they have massive intensive horticulture areas there full of Chinese workers. That's why they brought up the requirement for a DA many years ago, because there was all sorts of things going on there. This is what keeps us safe. The farming community isn't above us, they are a part of us. So requiring DAs is the only method under current legislation to ensure appropriate measures are in place to stop impacts happening before they occur.
Councillor McWilliam.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate what Councillor Angel said. I am a new councillor. I am aware of every side of stories, and that's what they are, as stories. I need factual information to be able to make any decisions. Can I ask for order, please, because I need to actually get this out. So in that, I actually contacted council as soon as I got the paperwork, which was the only paperwork I've received on the matter, and I did not get a sitting with council until Tuesday. It is only Thursday. I still have information that I haven't got that I need to make a clear choice. So as a councillor that's new going into this, there's a lot of backstory to this, as I'm sure everyone's aware, and I empathise and sympathise with everyone that's been going on for months and months and months, but there are technical issues.
Quiet, Ngari, please.
There are issues here that are legislative that I need to get my head around, and I feel making a decision that quickly on our third meeting as new councillors is very harsh.
Thank you. Councillor Simpson.
I will also be voting against the deferral. I'd just like to bring up a few things, and we mentioned this at the pre-meeting. Essentially, all of us through the campaign were very, very well aware of this issue coming up in our local community. And I spent quite a bit of time on pushback in relation to particular points of view from the community. So I'm sorry, I do disagree that we have not been informed. When it comes to some of the discussions we've had around the EPA is specifically asking us to create a proactive process. We cannot keep affording to be reactive. I have the actual document here from the DPI, which I'm quite keen to read from. Living and working in rural areas. And basically within this document, it clearly outlines that these are once again very simple procedures. We all have the right to farm, but it also means looking after our neighbours and making sure that we are stewards to land and people. It has very firm buffers in there. All the details of what we're actually wanting to implement within our DCP DA process, nothing different to what's in the Department of Primary Industries document. And I would also like to highlight, as was highlighted also in our pre-meeting, that we are the only state that does not have these regulations in place.
Any further questions? Any further questions from councillors? Councillor Angel.
Sorry, just a bit of clarity to what I'm trying to say is I just want our process to be right. And that, I'm not, that is it. All right? And wherever the fluff wants to go on around it, I want our processes to be clear that this goes wherever it goes, and we've done everything, every box is ticked. So it does not keep going for year after year. And that is it.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. Those in favour of the motion? Favour is Councillor Angel, Councillor Vance, Councillor McWilliam and the Mayor, Councillor Lee. Those against? Councillor Simpson, Councillor Jones, Councillor Smith and Councillor Genvey. And we'll have to stand. Can the ones for it stand, please? For the ones against, stand.
Against?
Four.
Against or four?
Those four. Councillor Angel, Councillor Vance, Councillor McWilliam and the Mayor, Councillor Lee. We're for the motion to defer. Those against, could you please stand? Councillor Genvey, Councillor Ballengarry, Councillor Campbell, Councillor Simpson, Councillor Jones and Councillor Smith. The motion is lost. I now call for a motion in regard to
the recommendation.
The recommendation.
I would like to move the motion in favour of the recommendation and speak to it, please.
You've got a seconder? Councillor Genvey. I invite you to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
No.
Sorry, just a question to the Acting General Manager. Am I required to do a shadow motion in this regard? The motion's been passed by another councillor.
Thanks for your question. I'll refer you to our Manager of Governance and Risk.
Thank you.
Yes, you're free to put a foreshadowed motion for at any time, and that will be considered if this motion gets lost.
I'm happy to wait until Councillor Simpson speaks first, and then I'll do
it. Could I also add, Mr. Mayor, with your indulgence, if the motion or the motion, if you like, if it's consistent with the motion, it can be done as an amendment, so it would become part of the motion. So if Councillor Smith thinks her amendment is consistent, then maybe she should put that forward now so we could discuss the amendment, and if that passes, then it becomes a motion like we did before with the seawall.
I suppose in response to that is, it might be worth foreshadowing your motion, and then a determination can be made whether it's an amendment, and then we can seek the mover and the seconder to ever accept it, and that way we get a clear way forward other than... So if you want to do your motion now.
If you want to do your motion now, Councillor Smith.
So for me to put the shadow motion forward,
please.
Now? Yeah. So I think you've got the details. Sorry, just to clarify, do I need to read through this or do I wait? Okay. My writing. I do move to support the recommendation provided by Council, but also add some action items for Council, so that Council request a formal meeting with the Department of Primary Industry to discuss points raised in their submission, funding opportunities and proactive testing. To contact the EPA to request information on any planned proactive controls, including ongoing testing of the river and the watercourses. Report on the cost and process and costing of the Nambucca specific land. Oh, sorry, I've removed that one, I think, from the. Yeah. Contact local land services and request a project update on water catchment systems and any supporting funding opportunities. To establish a farming in Nambucca Valley farming fact sheet. To promote a greater understanding of existing government and regulatory bodies and the roles they play in managing agriculture in Nambucca Valley. Not only will this notify farmers on how they can be assisted on establishing or growing their business, but it will also improve the community understanding around existing controls and how they are enforced. And finally, I'd like Council to contact the APVMA for information on how they will continue to monitor and enforce any buffer zones prescribed on the approved chemicals specifically in the Nambucca Valley.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Are you prepared to accept that as an amendment? And the mover? The seconder? Are you prepared to accept it?
We're moving to make an LEP environment plan. These other things sit slightly outside that, and if we go to make the plan, then I'm not sure why we're having talking to the Departments of Primary Industry, but yeah, I'll support it.
Well, that becomes the motion. We'll put the motion. Discussion. Discussion. Councillor Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I will keep it short. Look, I just want to thank the council, in particular the manager, development environment, for the massive amount of work that's gone into both putting together this proposal, both in 2017 and this year. So I do really want to thank our team. It has been a lot of work. As has been mentioned, 83 submissions have come in. I also want to basically quickly summarise the reason why a lot of us are looking at this proactive approach. And I also want to highlight, before I do that, one particular submission for the Gambangya elders and the focus on in support of the land and waters of the Nambucca Valley. I just really want to highlight that. Why is this LEP, DCP, DA essential? Look, we've been waiting since 2017. Our neighbour LGAs actually have basically have shifted development with consent, so to ensure that neighbouring farms and farms are protected, plus retaining their farming activity there. So we're saying we do want to retain our horticulture industry here, but let's work together to create a proactive approach where we can farm as stewards of the land together. So I just want to highlight that. So I really did mention this living and working in rural areas document. I will read a few things in here because it really, in itself, we have been asked to go to the DPI document quite a few times. What about my right to farm? Farmers do have a right to farm. They don't have a right to cause a nuisance or adverse effects on the environment or on the community. You know, it's just simply laid out in this document. So in terms of land use conflict, a lot of this document focuses on land use conflict, and I will highlight some of the principles, basic principles. Be proactive, prevention, buffers, and it clearly outlines the recommendations of buffers in this DPI document. Codes of practice. Yeah, it will be great to work towards codes of practice that are something that we can readily enforce, but obviously that's down the track. Environmental care, responsibility. I also want to highlight here, prior land use practices have precedence, because this often comes up in terms of the shifting requirements of different neighbours within our landscape. So I just want to highlight a proactive regulation approach, using the LEP to support the adoption of best practice through a code of practice, updated requirements for DAs, and I will mention very briefly here without going into the details, appropriate housing and facilities for all farm workers. So we all have the right to farm and the responsibility of being stewards of the land and people. And I would actually like to ask, is it okay for me to ask a question of the development manager at this stage? So the question was, I think it will be valuable for everyone to hear the next steps from this particular decision point.
Thanks for your question, Councillor, and I'll refer you to the Manager of Development and Environment.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Simpson, the next steps will be, if it is passed tonight, it will be referred back to the Department of Planning for determination by the Minister. So the Planning Minister has the final say whether the LEP is made. If it is, then we'll proceed with those DCP amendments, and that's when those technical controls in terms of water quality measures and land use conflict buffers will be addressed in detail, and that will be done through consultation with state agencies and industry first, then brought back to council where those with tweaked draft controls to then be put back on public exhibition.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Simpson. Any further questions? Any further discussion? Councillor Jones, you had your hand up before.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thought Councillor Jenvey had the jump on me, but I'm happy to attend. I will keep it brief. I'd like to thank all the community, both those in favour and those against and those who are generally interested, because I think the conduct tonight has shown a great restraint and that we're all here for the betterment of the valley. And I think that's important for me, because the way I look at this is change is always difficult. Change is always difficult to work with. It's difficult to... It's challenging. There are different people who are going to be affected differently. But I think one of the points I'd like to make is the change here is not the LEP. The change here has been the change to our rural landscape by a massive influx. And I hear the numbers, but visually they're there. You know, they are having impact. I alluded to the code of conduct, the voluntary code of conduct. It really didn't work. And buffers to me are important, because buffers allow... Like, I own residential land. I have to have a buffer from the neighbour if I want to build a house. I have to have a buffer from the neighbour if I want to put a carport in. We live in a community where we all have to give each other a bit of buffer. You know what I mean? So the change here is not the LEP. We are responding to a landscape change. And I commend the recommendations. I commend the staff and also Councillor Smith for her additions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillor Jenvey, you had something?
Yeah, I won't go over everything I said before, but look, a DA will reduce conflicts and make for a more cohesive community. Making the case for how things are going to be implemented on the farm, mitigate the potential of all sorts of off-site impacts of chemicals, but also is considerate for your neighbours, you know, in the use of buffers, and that's going to result in less water pollution and less amenity impacts on the community. You know, we've had numerous examples of pollution and land conflicts over many years, and we've had a multi-agency approach for a decade. I believe this is the change we need going forward, and it's going to have a better outcome than where we've been.
Thank you.
Councillor Smith, can you just advise us AVPMA so that we can type in the actual words?
APV.
I can get it on my phone.
Australian Pesticides and Veterinary sort of...
APVMA.
Management Association or something.
APVMA.
Australian
Pesticides and Veterinary...
Pesticides. Veterinary...
Medicines Authority. Australian...
Medical.
We put the motion. The move is there. Another comment. Comment, Councillor Smith. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just like to speak to the motion, the support of the. Are we at the amendment or the motion?
Both.
It's a motion. Okay. Support of the motion. I firstly just, you know, want to speak to. All the other councillors at this table, and really commend everybody for the work that they've done. And I assure the public, and you know, the deferment request was done really with a sincere want to learn more. So I just want to mention that it's not because there is a not wanting to put some rules in place and you know, understand our responsibility, but it was done purely. Of the lack of information that has been provided and a lot of the work that we've had to undertake ourselves to educate ourselves with the lack of workshops and the lack of that feedback. In terms of my support of this motion, I'll keep it short as much as I can too. Does horticulture require a DA? Do I think there's an impact on the environment? Yes. Do I think there's an impact on the economy? Yes. Do I think there's a social impact? Yes. So with that, we need to require a DA. What that DA consists of is for another day, but we need to require a DA. My dad always said, keep it simple, KISS. And when you say, is this already regulated? You know, you go back 7 years when this didn't get through, and you say, okay, it's been put in the hands of all these organisations and all these authorities, and, you know, they've got this under control. And then you come to today and we're still here talking about it. So, you know, take a huge look back and just go, okay, is this being, if it is regulated, is it even being regulated correctly? And is it regulating the environment, the economy, and the social impacts that are in place? Now, lastly, I just want to speak to all the amendments I put up. and that is from the conversations, the myriad of convos. It's not lost on me the position that I have today. And all the people who have called me and who I've met with, there is a really big concern around how much these other agencies are going to come to the table. And I think by us saying today, we require an LEP, but we will be open and ready to discuss what the DCP changes will be, I think is key in approving this. And that's all.
Thank you very much. Any more questions, councillors? I'll put the motion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour, please stand. We have Councillor Simpson, Councillor Jones, Councillor Smith, Councillor Genvey, and Councillor Ballengarry. All those against, stand please. Councillor Angel, Councillor McWilliam, Councillor Vance, and Councillor Lee. Thank you. The motion is carried. Give you some time for anyone that wishes to leave the gallery that want to leave. You're quite welcome. Councillors, you got to stay. Gallery, there's still a meeting going on. Could we please move from the gallery quietly, please? The gallery, please refrain from attending the table with the councillors, please. Thank you, people in the gallery. We will continue our meeting. We now move on to 9.1.
Happy to move this, Mr. Mayor.
General Manager's reports.
I'll second that, Madam, Mr. Mayor.
Move, Councillor Jones. Seconded. Move, Councillor Angel. Thank you, Councillor Jones. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
To the General Manager, this doesn't look like a commercial lease, and I noticed that they're not allowed to cook or sell, license to sell alcohol, so I think it makes it very difficult just to make some money off the golf course. Whether this is going to be sustainable as a business, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, thanks for your question, Councillor Genvey. Look, the lease has, or the license, has been agreed with the party, so they're obviously aware of the conditions that are in there, and they're happy to sign up to this license. And obviously, that's reflected in the lease, the annual fee, depending upon the use that we're allowing them to do.
Yeah, I mean, I know we passed this in August this year, but I mean, originally the rec club was going to pack up shop when it became the sport hub in the middle, and it was going to become another entity altogether. But now, I mean, they've got RVs there and golf and whatnot. So it's kind of a secondary use of this site, which it's hard to see. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this, but there's a lot of rabbits, a huge amount of rabbits on the oval, and I noticed that the licence says it's not allowed to have pests in the licence area. Is there any way we can initiate something here?
Thanks for your question, Councillor. We've already initiated something with local land services in regards to the rabbits that are out there and how we might be able to control them, and hopefully we'll be doing something in the coming months.
So is that us as council or is that the centre?
No, it's through local lands, so right. State government. We've engaged with them to assist with controlling the rabbits that are out there.
Okay. I'm not convinced the business has enough to go on for 5 years, but so be it.
I put the motion.
I have a question, if that's okay.
Further questions? Sorry, Councillor.
Just in regards to food, so do they actually have a licence to be able to cook on site?
Thanks for your question, Councillor. I'm not too sure. I'd have to take that on notice and get back to you on that one.
Thank you.
Further questions, Councillor, on 9.1? The motion? Put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. 9.2, the draft plan of management, Barrowville Racecourse Reserve. Been on public exhibition.
Happy to move this.
Councillor Angel, seconded. Councillor Genvey, Councillor Simpson. That's all right, I'll have my new glasses next meeting. I'll have me next. I just swap around. I'll have my new glasses next one. Any discussion on the draft plan of management? I put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. We move on to 9.3. Licence Part Road adjacent 79 Siding Road, Newey Creek. Any discussion?
I'll move,
Councillor Vance, seconder, Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? No discussion? I'll put the motion. Oh, sorry, was there a...
No,
you're right? Yeah. Just jumping the gun. I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. Director of Corporate Service reports. 10.1. Who's doing the director service? You doing the director service too? Yeah, well, get on. A mover and a seconder for 10.1. A mover, Councillor Angel. Councillor Genvey.
If nobody else wants to, I'm more than happy to move the minutes of the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee.
Any discussion?
Did you attend it, Mr. Mitt?
I did.
Yeah, good.
It was very good.
Yeah.
It was a good result.
Yes.
Very good result, actually. I hope we get it again. I'll put the motion. All in favour? All against? Or any against? Declare it carried. 10.2. I get a mover and a seconder. Councillor Simpson. I've got Councillor Ballengarry. You finally got in. Didn't leave you behind. Okay. Any discussion on 10.2? Yes, Councillor Simpson.
Look, I was one of the councillors present there. Is it okay for me to add to the notes, even though it's not part of the actual plan itself?
You're allowed to talk to the motion, but not add to the motion.
Thank you. I'll talk to the motion. I just wanted to highlight, it was a really valuable meeting, and I understood that we're slowly building the number of stakeholders that are actually engaging with the Access Committee. Mm. Something that really came up in that committee, there has been a very strong focus on physical access, physical disabilities as well. So we're thinking now about the inclusion of mental health as well in terms of inclusion within this particular committee structure. There was also consideration, actually we agreed on the change of the name in that regard, Access and Inclusion Committee. I just wanted to highlight that. And some really interesting ideas of expanding on that inclusion note, highlighting events such as the activism, 16 days of activism, and I'll leave that to Councillor Smith maybe to talk to. But there's other programs that we have in the Valley that will be quite valuable. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jane Smith.
I've been called upon.
I've been called upon.
The 16 days of activism was a request from the interagency youth group, and the request was to turn the Maxville Bridge orange for the 16 days, and it supports gender violence. So part of that will be a social media post on the council social media pages promoting services that are available within that realm. So I thought that was a great, I commend the general manager and anyone that was able to get that through so fast and show our support to the community with a very active response to a simple request. So thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Genry.
Yeah, thanks. I've been on the Disability Inclusion Access Committee for 8 years. And look, we did at this first meeting go through the Inclusion Action Plan and signed off on it, and then it's signing off today for the year. But it was fantastic to see some of the big interagencies at our Access meeting, and next year we're reviewing it 1 July and we'll have more time, and we're expanding the committee to just do a bit more than what we have been doing with that. It's a government requirement that we hand one in, but it's encouraging to see this committee more activated. So yeah.
All right, thank you. Any further discussion? I put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. 10.3, mover and a seconder. Mover is Councillor McWilliam. Seconder, Councillor Vance. Nominations, Council Section 355, Committees of Management. Anyone want to talk to it? No? No discussion? Oops. Councillor Angel.
Look, as a new mayor for the Nambucca Valley Care, I think this is a really good opportunity to at least write a letter to these guys and thank them for their sticking their hand up to look after these committees, these halls, these reserves. I think it's take it as a comment, but I think it's a really, these guys do a lot of work when you go out there, and obviously yourself part of the Yatungan Hall before you've taken on this role, but it deserves a recognition straight away now that we've seen these guys take their positions, I think, rather than
add us a dot point, Jim, that the mayor write to the 355.
You want to add a third dot point? You want to do an amendment?
Hang on, councillors, just as a side note, we do already send a letter to everybody on the committee, but we can make sure that's signed by the mayor, co-signed with the general manager.
Fantastic. Yeah. Right, so there's a moment. Thanks for that comment, because the volunteers are vital in our community, and we need to let them know that we're looking after them as well as they're looking after the community. Thank you for that comment.
Oh, look, if you need a third signature.
Okay. Your third signature? You can put the deputy mayor on, you can put the whole lot of the councillors on.
Go around the table.
Go around the table. Councillors, there's no further. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? Unanimously carried. Thank you very much. There being no further business, I will now close the meeting at the time being 7:20. 7:24. Thank you very much for your attendance. Thank you, members of the gallery. And we'll see you next time. Thank you. Thank you, councillors.